Canada needs more teachers, especially ones who specialize in French as a second language. For a bilingual nation like Canada, this growing shortage is a problem. I'm Mimi Masson, and this is my podcast series about FSL teachers. While doing my PhD at the University of Toronto, I learned why we have so much trouble recruiting FSL teachers and why so many of them drop out of the profession. And I dedicated my research to finding ways to help them. Now, I'm sharing my research findings with you. Most of the data I'll report here comes from focus groups, interviews, and surveys conducted with FSL teachers and educational stakeholders over the last two decades. In this episode, I discuss the reasons why so many FSL teachers struggle once they enter the workforce.
You're not treated like other professionals. There's no trust.
French teachers are kind of left out of professional development.
My principal is very proud of our French program, but really we've had no support. We've done this all on our own.
How dare we claim to be professional enough to identify areas in which we need or want development?
You just shut up and you play the game. I won't last as a teacher.
Canada depends on FSL teachers to promote bilingualism. French immersion and extended French programs require qualified FSL teachers to teach them. There are core French teachers who teach French class as a subject, and French immersion teachers who teach other subjects, math, science, art, etc., in French. From kindergarten to grade 12, kids from all different backgrounds, Anglophones and Allophones alike, are encouraged to learn French to get ahead in Canada. Enrollment in French immersion has grown an average of 6% per year for 11 consecutive years. But school boards across Canada are struggling to meet the demand. Recruiting and retaining teachers for their French programs continues to be a daunting task.
Students are ready for the new year, backpacks loaded, brains rested, but the one school essential that's in short supply is the teachers.
A call for help tonight from schools that offer French immersion courses. All across Canada, educators report a rising number of students and too few French teachers.
The number of students enrolled in French immersion has jumped by 65,000 in 5 years. Recruiters are often going after the same candidates and are now forced to get creative.
Poaching, which may allow them to solve the scramble in the short term, but as far as a sustainable, lasting solution, what are some of the options?
It's not that our current Minister of Education or our school boards aren't taking the shortage seriously. They're applying all the recruitment strategies they can think of to keep their FSL and French immersion programs alive. They're creating incentives, targeting education students fresh out of university, trying to poach teachers from other provinces, promoting teacher exchange programs with French-speaking countries in Europe, and so on. But the problem here goes beyond recruitment. One of the major issues causing the shortage is a phenomenon I call FSL teacher flight. Basically, what it means is that FSL teachers who enter the profession don't remain in it. They either leave teaching altogether or they transition out of teaching French. And in fact, a 2006 study by the Canadian Association of Second Language Teachers found that up to 40% of FSL teachers end up leaving or consider leaving the profession, and many of them reported feeling like second-class citizens in their schools.
You know, you just shut up and you play the game. And I don't like that. I won't last as a teacher and I won't last in this profession. I love the kids. I love being a teacher. So I'm not here for the paycheck.
This is Sophie, an FSL teacher working at a large middle-class high school in an urban center in southern Ontario. She was one of the participants in my study, which took place between 2011 and 2015.
I need to do something that's fulfilling, where I don't feel deprofessionalized. I need to feel supported and I don't like fear-mongering. I think there's a lot of that in our profession.
Sophie is a multilingual Canadian woman of Western European descent in her early 30s. She speaks English fluently and learned French at school in Canada. She had about 5 to 10 years of experience teaching when my research project began. With her permission, I'm using some of her testimony from my thesis project to help illustrate how FSL teachers feel, and I'll be doing that throughout the podcast. To protect the identity of my participants, I won't be using their real names. I've also asked voice actors to read the clips aloud, because some of the testimonials were taken from an online forum where a group of teachers wrote to each other, sharing their experiences and discussing their professional development goals.
Our profession is about relationships. So if you want us to do great things, then you have to trust us. We have such a strong program. It's flourished so much. My principal is very proud of our French program, but really we've had no support. We've done this all on our own.
Sophie's not the only one who feels this way. Over and over again, FSL teachers have reported feeling disenfranchised, marginalized, and isolated in their practice. In fact, for the past 40 years, core French teachers have reported issues about unequal working conditions. In a 2008 report called "Why Are New French Immersion and French as a Second Language Teachers Leaving the Profession?", the authors report five factors which contribute to core French teachers' dissatisfaction. Poor working conditions due to excessive workloads, lack of time, and lack of instructional materials. Difficulty in forming relationships with administrative staff or mentors. Fear of failure, of being judged, and lack of trust. Difficulty with classroom management and poor initial training. In a more recent study about teachers in Canada, conducted in 2016, researchers found that even though teachers are all held to the same professional standards, access to resources and support are unequal. The unofficial consensus in Ontario among FSL teachers and educational stakeholders is that core French teachers often lag behind in educational trends compared to their English language counterparts. One of the causes is that they're often excluded from the professional learning opportunities that are provided to their English language colleagues.
At my school, teachers actually have common prep time. So people who are teaching partners, who teach the same or similar subjects, they can go and they can talk if they choose to about their classes and do planning together. And it works well. I can't do it because I teach French. French teachers are kind of left out of that.
This is Christina. She had been teaching core French to grades 7 and 8 for several years when she began participating in my thesis project.
I am a product of the Core French program. I immigrated to Canada and am a culturally and linguistically diverse individual like all of my students. I've learned French and two other European languages here in Canada. As a French teacher, we're kept out of math and language-based professional development. I've always wondered what happens at those meetings. From what I'm hearing now, it appears that I haven't missed out on much. In fact, being able to choose my own PD via an MA degree is exactly what everyone is saying they want to do. How funny the system is. We provide our students with choice boards and our teachers with mandates. How dare we claim to be professional enough to identify areas in which we need or want development?
Though Christina is left out of her colleagues' professional development opportunities, she takes solace in the fact that she is free to do her own thing, in the form of a master's program, in her spare time, of course. But this isn't the case for everyone. When FSL teachers are given professional development opportunities, also called PD for short, it's often a one-size-fits-all format, where an expert talks at them. In Sophie's case, she was even asked to give up her lunch hour for it.
So one courageous math teacher said, "I can't do this. It's really hard for 9 teachers to get together during the school day. Why can't we do this when we have our in-school PD?" And the principal's response was, "It's not gonna happen. And you should do this on your own time. And if you like, I'll pay for your lunch." For some reason, they think teachers will do anything for a sandwich. I look around when I'm in these PDs and I think, what a royal waste of money. Nobody's speaking. Nobody's saying what they really want to. We're just like drones sitting there. It's such a waste. It's been like that since I started teaching, and now it's starting to get on my nerves. I think that when you don't trust people and you treat them like crap, shoving them all into a room like cattle and regurgitating, it's an insult. I find our PD an insult to our intelligence. Why don't we get to do some stuff that matters? They have to check their little boxes and say, "We did that." It shouldn't be that way.
FSL teachers are keenly aware that they're working with dated material, and that FSL curriculums are lower on the priority list. For instance, to meet new provincial requirements in numeracy and literacy education, the math, English language arts, and science curricula were revised in 2005, 2006, and 2007, respectively, while the core French curriculum was not revised until 2013. That's a long time to be teaching outdated material. In the early 2000s, the situation was so bad that a core French teacher in Ontario felt compelled to write a letter about these working conditions to the dean of the Faculty of Education at Brock University. In that letter, the teacher says that FSL teachers are treated so poorly in Ontario that the dean should actively discourage students from enrolling in FSL qualification courses. In a bid to gather evidence on the matter, a researcher named Anthony Mollica documented the stories of approximately 1,500 elementary core French teachers in Ontario through focus groups, interviews, and surveys. The findings confirmed the concerns of the FSL teacher who had sent in the letter. Up to 63% of core French teachers do not have their own classroom in schools. Those without a classroom teach à la carte, which is what they call teachers who roam the school halls pushing a cart full of materials because they have no classroom of their own. Almost a quarter of these teachers, 22%, move between 7 or more classrooms each week. Some teaching in staff rooms, lunch rooms, libraries, gyms, and portables. As one teacher in Mollica's study explains it,
"The most frustrating, exhausting part of my job is traveling from room to room, upstairs, downstairs, between portables, carrying all my resources and bins in the rain, wind, and snow. My resources get ruined, I get run down, and I often forget things or need things I hadn't anticipated. My program suffers, and I spend half my lunch or recess taking resources down, transporting, and setting up again."
According to a 2014 publication by Leif French and Laura Collins, teachers are also frustrated with their class scheduling. One teacher revealed that core French is always scheduled during the last period of the day in her school, when teachers and students are both mentally and emotionally exhausted, literally the worst time to learn. For many core French teachers, the lack of a space to create a French language-rich environment reflects a disrespect for their subject and by extension themselves as professionals. Some core French teachers with no classroom of their own are forced to negotiate access to the classroom space. The blackboard, the desk, the walls, and they're sometimes met with resistance from the homeroom teachers whose classroom they have to borrow. A study conducted by Callie Mady and Ibtissam Knoozi in 2014 highlights the systemic issues that core French teachers continue to face in their practice. In this study, French teachers reported being asked to supervise classes while English teachers receive literacy training. They also reported that their needs are not being addressed in professional learning communities because these cater to the needs of the majority. This means core French teachers get left out, since many schools only have one FSL teacher.
"I sometimes feel as though I'm just giving planning time to other teachers instead of being treated as an equal or professional. Working in such environments denies core French teachers the ability to position themselves as specialists of one of the core subject areas in the curriculum."
Even though these issues have been widely investigated and reported over the last three decades, very little has changed in the way policy is implemented to eradicate feelings of marginalization among core French teachers in their professional context. And so these teachers then start to question their legitimacy as French speakers. It challenges the validity of their subject matter in schools, and it signals distrust about their status as professional educators. This feeling of disempowerment and isolation, which is fairly widespread, is an important reason why this growing demand for FSL teachers routinely goes unmet. I strongly believe we have to address this issue if we truly want the situation to improve. So now the question becomes, how do we help make French teachers feel valued? There's very little research out there that focuses on addressing FSL teacher retention and well-being through improved professional learning and identity formation. And so that's where I focused my attention during my PhD. I worked with Dr. Mary Coy from the Ontario Institute for Studies in Education, who conducted a study in which a group of teachers from Ontario and Michigan who were considering leaving their profession participated in an online professional learning community together. They were all teachers in different subject areas and grade levels, and for 4 years, they bonded. Working together, sharing their experiences, positive and negative, challenging their assumptions, finding creative solutions to problems, All that helped enhance their professional knowledge and well-being. They were able to develop their voice, their teaching practice, and their identities as teachers. Things got better with peer support, with community. This study really got me interested in exploring the benefits of professional development that is community-driven, and I wanted to see if this type of PD could also help FSL teachers. In the next episode, we'll talk about why professional development for FSL teachers is stagnant and what myths perpetuate this neglect. And we'll discuss why it's important, from a psychological standpoint, to create support systems that help teachers evolve their practice. I'll also talk about some of the research that inspired my thesis work and what my own research findings have taught me about the benefits of professional learning communities and computer-supported collaborative learning networks. This podcast series was made possible thanks to funding from the Social Sciences and Humanities Research Council and the Ontario Institute for Studies in Education at the University of Toronto. I'm your host, Mimi Masson. Production, editing, and sound design by Sabrina Daniel. Voice acting by Shakina Rajendram, Jennifer Burton, and Shauna Carroll.